You're listening to In the Name of God from Kenan Come Trust in Belfast, Northern Ireland, an international faith-based show comprising music, news and interviews from all over the world.
Hi, I'm Raymond McCulloch, and on this, our third show of the new series, we have music from Scotland, England and Ukraine, Germany and California. We have an interview with two believers from Arad, Israel, who are experiencing fruitfulness coupled with great persecution there. And of course, we have our faith-based news feature, Bread News International. We introduced the show today with a piece of Middle Eastern music called Intro from a German band, Beersheba. We'll have more great music for you shortly. But first, let me introduce today's guests, Eddie and Laura Beckford. Eddie is a Christian and a Vietnam veteran from Spanish Harlem in New York City. He's married to Laura, a Jewish lady who made Aliyah to Israel many years ago. Together they run a chess and domino club for some of the elderly Russian Holocaust survivors in Arad, which also distributes Bibles, books and second-hand clothes to needy people in the area. It's called The King's Men.
I like to think of it as a storefront church, but, you know, people call it the chess club, the King's Men, and it's a place where pensioners congregate there on a daily basis, and we have 30 to 50 people there each day. Gets to be a little expensive. It's like having 30 to 50 guests at your house that stay all day long with you. And they're drinking several cups of coffee. They're using the one bathroom. The majority of these guys are Russian. It's part of their culture, I think, vodka. And so that's another thing that I have to deal with. They celebrate birthday parties. And like I said, there's 30 to 50 guys. So there's at least 50 birthday parties a year. And then you have Victory Day, which is a big event, and all the other occasions. And it's a slow process. If this was an AA group, Alcoholic Anonymous, and I was working with them, at least they have like court orders to stop drinking, or the wife and children are gonna leave if you don't, or you're gonna lose your job, or it might be your parole requirements, you know, or something. So there's an incentive to stop drinking, but these guys are not like that, so they're in worse shape in a way. So that's a little thing where if you're a legalist type of believer, you may not see, you know, the mission here. And it's slow, it's building relationship. Some people have gotten saved. At one time, before opening the storefront, you came to Arad looking for a believer, Christian. You would have to know somebody who knew somebody who knew somebody to find where we met. But now you can ask any cab driver. You've had that experience. You asked around town, where can I find this chess club? Or you could say, where can I find a Christian? And they'll tell you that chess club over there. And you were here and experienced the type of traffic I've had coming here. A bag lady came by and I gave her the empty vodka bottles and beer cans and soda cans. But they're worth 25 agarots each. And it's a place where Bibles and books in whatever language, we've got it right there, free for the taking. I would ask people to pray for more laborers because the fruit is ripe there. We need musicians. The more they interact with other believers, I mean, they see that common thread, which is the love of Yeshua and Christ in us. They've seen it in you. They've seen it in Avi, who you met, Aslam, who's a Bedouin, who is a believer now. So they all know, they feel the presence of the Lord there. It's an outreach ministry, and it's a good experience.
I
Scots Gaelic version of the Leonard Cohen song Alleluia from a lady called Fiona J. McKenzie, a native Scots Gaelic speaker and singer. Back now to southern Israel. I asked Laura about the makeup of the community in Arad.
Makeup of the community. Mostly Russian Jews. The second part would be the Hebrew-speaking native-born Israelis. And the third is a handful of English speakers and Arabs. The Bedouins in this area many, many years ago were Byzantine before the onset of Islam. Many of them have family history. You know, they know that many years ago their family believed in Yeshua. And now there's an open door here among the Bedouins because they want to know more about Yeshua. So they're not as hostile as the other Muslims in the other parts of the world. There is a big open door.
Are there a lot of Bedouin? Sorry, I mean, it's large.
Thousands and thousands. There's about 80,000, I think, around in the Negev. Yeah, and the army's been moving them from down south around the Eilat and down in the Arava Valley. They've been moving them up toward Arad, Dimona, and Beersheba into this triangle here. So they're kind of crowding them together, trying to get them to move into the Bedouin cities that they're building.
Are they still nomadic, some of them?
Not very many. No, it's very difficult to be nomadic in Israel anymore because the army keeps moving you and restricting your movement. Right now, it's not a good thing. It's not a good thing to put them in these cities because as soon as they build a city, then a mosque gets built. These Bedouins are not used to attending mosque. They are not used to having a cleric tell them what to do. But as soon as the mosques are built, then the clerics move in and they are radicalizing the younger generation. So we have a time bomb here in Israel. It's going to explode in our face in the future. Traditionally, they have lived in family clans where the young people are free to run around in amongst the tents and so forth. Here, when you mix the clans together and put them into a city, you're destroying a whole way of life, and many times the young girls are not even allowed outside the house for fear a man from another clan will see her. So it has just changed the entire way of life, and they have animals which need land to graze, and the land has been taken away from them, so they have to give up the animals. So an entire way of life is being destroyed. It's not good. Not good. There's no respect here for the Bedouins.
What about the Ethiopian people? There are quite a lot in this area also.
Yes, quite a few new immigrants are coming in the last 10 years. Every year we've been getting more and more. They have their own synagogue here. And they're very, very nice people, very gentle people. We really love them very much. We're trying to help them with, you know, used clothing. We've taken a lot of used clothing over to the absorption center. We need some help in this area as far as language goes because they do not speak Hebrew. They speak Amharic, even though they write it with Hebrew characters. It's very interesting. They're very much afraid of the Orthodox Jews. The Orthodox Jews are watching them very carefully for any sign that they will be Christian.
We'll be talking some more with Eddie and Nora after our Bread News feature.
Bread News International.
In this bulletin, a 2,000-year-old seed comes back to life, and new dirty stinking quetcher, but now they're accepted. Jerry McCulloch reports.
Report from Wycliffe, Words for Life. When Wycliffe Key Partners Faith Comes by Hearing started distributing Spanish Bible recordings among Quechua people in Bolivia, it was soon obvious that most of them did not understand. So Faith Comes by Hearing produced Quechua recordings for them. 1 year later, church leaders reported that tremendous changes were taking place. In every village, it was the same story. People had enjoyed listening to the Spanish recordings in groups of 25 to 30. But when the Quechua recordings arrived, attendance swelled to 85 to 115. Sometimes 90% of the village came to listen. Lives were transformed. Drunkenness and domestic violence used to be common, but now ceased. Families were reconciled, and there was peace in their homes. They didn't only listen to the dramatized stories. Whoever they identified with, they became that person. The story that had the most powerful impact was the one about the woman with the hemorrhage in Mark 5. As Quechuas, they were used to being treated as dirty and backward. As long as the Bible was only in Spanish, Quechuas thought God didn't want to know them. But when they heard the scriptures in their language, they began to wonder. Perhaps they weren't rejected. An unclean woman sneaking through a respectable crowd to reach Jesus. Naturally, the Quechua woman identified with her. They went too. When she reached out to touch Jesus' clothes, they did the same. Something happened inside her, and something happened to them. And when Jesus turned round and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" they cried out in fear. They thought he would say, "You dirty, stinking Quechua, why did you touch me?" But instead he said, "Daughter, your faith has healed you." That just made them weep, and they said, "My heart hurts." The Quechua leaders told them, "You're accepted."
It's really sad. This have germinated a sapling from a date palm seed that is nearly 2,000 years old. We are interested in preserving very valuable species in the Middle East, Dr. Sarah Salem, who heads a project, told Israel Today. Some of them are extinct, but may be able to be resurrected. Salen, who works at the Lewis Borick Natural Medicine Research Center in Jerusalem, said it is the oldest seed ever brought back to life. Until now, the oldest species to be revived came from a 1,200-year-old lotus seed that was germinated in China. The palm seed was found at the historic fortress of Masada near the Dead Sea. We managed to get a few of these seeds and we planted them. And some 6 or 7 weeks later, a bud appeared, said Salen. The sapling is now 14 inches tall. If it survives, the team hopes to revive the Judean date palm praised in the Bible. In antiquity, there was a very famous date, Salen said. It was one of the most important exports of ancient Israel. It was on the coins. It was of extraordinary importance for the economy, for ceremonial reasons, and also for medicinal reasons. There are plenty of lush date palms in Israel today, but they are not the original tree from biblical times. They were imported from California. Scientists believe the Judean date might have had very different properties than the modern variety, and they hope the medicines of the ancient past can be remedies of the future.
More information on these and other bread news stories at kingdomcome.org.uk/news.
Back now to that interview with the Beckfords. I asked Eddie about their legal situation in Israel.
Currently, we're not breaking any existing laws. So legally, they can't do too much. They do know where all the believers live. And there was one time, 2:30 in the morning, the immigration police came, raided all our homes and woke everybody up, wanting to see papers and all of this. And it was like a harassment. They didn't go to our neighbors on the left or the right. And so we get harassed with the so-called demonstrations in front of our homes. Key in at the website, you can get the picture, several pictures, you can see the pattern right in front of our homes. Fortunately, we were able to move, and we have a place where you have to really come up on the property to come up to our doors and stand next to our vehicles and stuff. But on one occasion, they were way up here, and it's definitely trespassing. But there's no ramification for trespassing like this. These guys can get away with it. They even came in and desecrated the whole place that time and knocked over displays and Bibles and books. And that was prior to them burning the place to the ground. This is a nice, quiet town, long as you're not a believer. And I think maybe in some of those towns where they may have had concentration camps and during Nazi Germany era, if you were German, it may have been a nice, quiet little town. This is a nice, quiet town, as long as they don't find out that you're a believer. As long as you keep your light under a bushel basket, you will have no problem here. And they can spot you because you can tell a Christian will hold a door for another person. Any kind of common courtesy is an indication that you're a Christian. So if you want to be undetected, you can't even say good morning to a person. You will have to walk by without saying good morning, or you will be identified, and your picture could show up on billboards throughout town, and they'll find out your address. What they're doing currently now, there's 2 people, one on each side of the entrance into the kelah, the steps and everything, so it's like the gate, and they're reading off curses, cursing anybody that walks through, and you have to go through them both. And this now has been reported to the police, and it's supposedly legal because the sidewalk is a public sidewalk. Just like the time when I had a little confrontation about guys bringing chairs now, sitting in front of our house and leaning up against our wall. I found out later that that's legal because the sidewalk is public property. The outside of the wall that surrounds the house we used to live in is not ours. It's the inside that's ours. So all this was perfectly illegal. They trashed in front of our house, and that's legal because that's on the sidewalk. And if I can get them to put it in writing, then I'll put their letter on the internet, like the mayor's reply to me about his hands is tied and there's nothing he can do. I put his letter right there on the internet so that everybody could read that and judge for themselves.
I asked Laura to explain a little more about the Yad Lakim organization.
The Yad Lakim, which is, it's actually a terrorist organization. It's a Jewish terrorist organization which is dedicated to ridding Israel of Christians and Arabs. And a lot of the money that funds them comes from Christians. Christians who think they're giving to charitable organizations here in Israel. Orphanages, Feed the Hungry, that kind of thing. They are unknowingly giving to these Orthodox organizations and they're using it to persecute Christians. So I would urge any Christian listening to this, please stop. If you're going to give money to Israel, give it to a believer, someone you know and trust, and ask them to distribute it. Don't give it to these organizations.
I'm overcome by the love you've shown for me. I'm swept away in your arms. Tears of joy roll down my face. Lord, I'm overcome. Your mysteries, witness to sweet consolation all around me. Forgiveness pouring on and all without hesitation. I'm overcome by the love you've shown for me. I'm swept away. Shown for me, I'm swept away in your arms. Tears of joy roll down my face. Lord, I'm overcome. Lord, I'm shown for me. I'm swept away in your arms. Tears of joy roll down my face. Lord, I'm overcome. I'm overcome by the love you've shown for me. I'm swept away. Lord, I'm
by Alexandra Solano from California. Now in the final part of that interview, I asked Eddie how he deals with the harassment they experience.
People have emailed the Minister of Tourism, the Chief of Police, the Mayor, different members of the Knesset, and people around the world are praying on our behalf. You can read some of the replies they get. It's like form letters. It's just a lot of garbage. Once again, if they're writing to an individual, and maybe that individual could buy their line, or maybe if there wasn't the pictures, all the pictures that you see on the internet on this, our website were taken by me or my wife, Laura. The police show up without cameras. There has been evidently some effect from all the letters and some heat coming down on them, because during that time when we were going to take the bus to Nazareth, the police were there with a camera taking pictures. Like the pictures that were taken at the Besheva so-called demonstration, those pictures were taken by one of the believers who wrote that he was afraid for his life, actually. I'll be 59 in a few days. If I decided to be baptized and they got wind of it, then they would feel justified to do what they did in Besheva again. They just barged into private property. They took the pastor, threw him in the baptismal pool. There were elderly ladies there, pregnant ladies, and they roughed them up a little. We're faced with one heck of a situation here, you know, because half the body, more than half, I believe, are inclined to turn the cheek. They feel they want to live by that rule. And I've brought to the attention to the other pastors around here. As pastors, let's say our role is to feed the sheep, feed our flock. Okay, and that's fine and dandy. It's just like a police officer. He might like giving parking tickets, or a fireman might like showing little children around the station and how the fire hose hooks up. But what about when the wolves come? What about when you have a pack of wolves circling your sheep? What does the shepherd do then? It's nice and dandy feeding the flock. But what if you have a situation like we have here? What do? Turn the cheek like the hireling, that when the wolf comes, he runs away? Are we supposed to protect our flock? We're supposed to defend them somehow. And I don't know all the answers, but, you know, I just threw that question up so that everyone can ponder these things. And these are some of the things that we need prayer for, that we will act. You say, I bind you, Satan, and they're still there. You say, get behind me, Satan. Get under my foot, Satan. They're still there. You plead the blood of Jesus on them, on the blood of Yeshua on them, and they're still there. So what do you do next? More strength for the believers to endure. We need teaching in this area of spiritual war from someone who's just not wrote a nice book on it, but someone that's and lived it. The believers need to be encouraged. And some of the people are buying into some of the curses there. These people are telling them, you will be sick during service. And then they start feeling a little sick. And there's been a recent incident where three of the women in the congregation went to the pastor separately with the same symptom that people didn't think, well, this couldn't be a coincidence. So they're thinking it must be the curse, the Kabbalah they use, witchcraft and everything. But me and the wife were talking about that. You know, if someone says you will be sick, curse you, you walked right through this little area, now you have a curse on you. And if you buy into that, and if that frightens you, you know, you might have an anxiety attack. Or if you're really afraid, you know, you have shortness of breath. But we have to get it into our spirit that no harm can come against us there. And all things work out for the good of those who love the Lord. That you can't curse what God has blessed. And who are they praying to? I mean, to put a curse on us. Who are they praying to? If they're praying to God, same God we're praying to, that's falling on deaf ears. And if they're praying to another God, whoever is the God of Kabbalah, is not greater than God of Abraham and Isaac. And sometimes I think of Satan like a poker game. You have a winning hand. It may be something like a pair of nines. And he's bluffing. Bluffing in a big way. I raise 5,000 more. And you've got this winning hand. Then you start doubting. And you fold your hand and you give in. And he can win that hand.
We finish today's show with a beautiful Gaelic air from Dark Patrick with Lachan Ní Gair. You've been listening to In the Name of God from Kingdom Come Trust in Belfast, Northern Ireland. If you would like to contribute to this ministry, go to the partner page under radio on the Kingdom Come Trust website. That's www.kingdomcome.org.uk. You can make a monthly contribution or a one-off gift there. Join us again next week for more music, news, and planting 1,500 churches in India with Mariama Thambi. Slán agus Banachia. Bye and God bless.